Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
It's Fan Mail Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. As we do on this segment of our show, we like to take some of the emails, some of the letters that we have received at Mormonism Research Ministry that are somewhat critical of what we do and respond to them. Now, I've been getting emails from a gentleman who I'm assuming lives in the Salt Lake area, or at least the Utah area. His name is Bob, and he's written me several times. Now, let me explain to you why I've not taken Bob's arguments seriously. First of all, he explained in one of his emails that he's actually an inactive Mormon. He's been inactive, he says, for over 35 years. And yet, he writes me a lot of emails where he thinks he's defending Mormonism, but he does it in a very strange way. And one of the emails that he sent me recently that I thought we would tackle because he said we probably wouldn't tackle it.
And he says he listens to our show, so okay. Here we go.
Well, yeah, let's just get right into it here.
This is what he wrote. He says, I just thought I would write you an interesting event that I know that you will never talk about on your show. Well, there we go. We're talking about it. Yeah. I know that you have made a big deal out of Alma 7:10 in the Book of Mormon. Alma says that Jesus Christ would be born in the land of Jerusalem, which you feel is a contradiction to Matthew 2:1, which says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Right. I have an article on our website that deals with this very subject. And what I did is I went through the Book of Mormon and I found all the references when it talks about Jerusalem or the land of Jerusalem. And what I do is I show that according to what the Book of Mormon itself says and what Mormon leaders have said about it, that the land of Jerusalem is really the city of Jerusalem. Now, the reason why I find Alma 7:10, of course, problematic is that if Jesus was born in the land of Jerusalem, and according to the way that is used in the Book of Mormon, then that certainly would be a contradiction to Matthew 2:1 that says that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. I simply think Joseph Smith made a mistake. And in the article, I prove that that's quite possible to do because Mormon apologists have actually done that. There's even one manual where they accidentally attribute Jerusalem as being the birthplace of Jesus. So it's quite easy to make that mistake. That's all I was trying to say.
And I think if he went out on the street, and asked the question, where was Jesus born, you probably would get a lot of Jerusalems because Bethlehem is just a small town that nobody knows much about except maybe the Carroll, a little town of Bethlehem. That's about all we have. Mm-hmm. He goes on and says, I don't know if you have ever been to Bethlehem, but I have. And I found it interesting that it was like going from downtown Salt Lake City to Murray, Utah, in that it is only about 6 miles.
Have you ever been to Bethlehem, Aaron?
I've been there every year since 2009. I go every year, and it is close.
It is.
It's a 10-minute bus ride from downtown Jerusalem to get to Bethlehem. And I think a lot of people are amazed at that very idea. But I think that's what a lot of Mormons are going to use. Well, look how close it is. It's like saying you live in Salt Lake City when you really live in Sandy, because mm-hmm. people know where Salt Lake City is. But when you're away from home, nobody knows where Sandy is. And so you just use a bigger city to let people know where you live.
So his being to Bethlehem doesn't really trump our knowledge on the subject because we've both been there. So, and we do know that it is relatively close to the city of Jerusalem because Jerusalem has grown so much over the years.
And he says, I also find it interesting that based on the Book of Mormon timeline, there was no Bethlehem when they left for the Americas.
Now, this is where his argument really starts going off the reservation. Based on the Book of Mormon timeline, there was no Bethlehem when they left for the Americas. Now, according to the Book of Mormon, they left for the Americas when? Around 600 B.C.
Lehi.
Are you really telling me that there was no town of Bethlehem 600 B.C.? That doesn't make any sense at all. And there's evidence to show that certainly there was an ancient town of Bethlehem. You were looking up something there about a stamp or a bulla, they call it, that was discovered. And the information on this was only released in 2012.
Yeah, I think it was found just about 7 years ago, 6 years ago. But it, yeah, as you say, it's a stamp called a bulla, and it measured 1.5 centimeters. And it was found when they were sifting soil, removing it from the archaeological excavations that the Israel Antiquities Authorities carrying out in the city of David. And this is what the main guy, the director of this excavation, said. I want to read this because I think it's pretty powerful to contradict what Bob is saying here. He said, "It seems that in the seventh year of the reign of a king," it's unclear if the king referred to here as Hezekiah, Manasseh, or Josiah, "a shipment was dispatched from Bethlehem to the king in Jerusalem. The bulla we found, that stamp, belongs to the group of fiscal bullae," which is plural for bulla, "administrative bullae used to seal tax shipments remitted to the taxation system of the kingdom of Judah in the late 8th and 7th centuries BCE, before the Common Era, which is the same as our BC. The tax could have been paid in the form of silver or agricultural produce such as wine or wheat." He emphasizes, "This is the first time the name Bethlehem appears outside the Bible in an inscription from the first temple period, which proves that Bethlehem was indeed a city in the kingdom of Judah and possibly also in the earlier periods." Bill, he's talking here about the 7th and 8th centuries. The Lehi leaves in the 600 BC. So, I mean, we're talking a few hundred years before. We have archaeological evidence to show that there were actually people who lived in Bethlehem, and there was trading going on between Bethlehem and Jerusalem.
Now, he says that it was not in existence at the time of Jesus either, in the next paragraph. He says, "Based upon new archaeological evidence, many scholars now agree..." I love this, many scholars. That could be just about anybody out there. "Many scholars now agree that the little town of Bethlehem was not in existence at the time of Jesus. And the gospel writers of Matthew and Luke, who wrote the gospels 50-plus years after the death of Jesus, actually set their stories in Bethlehem of Judea to associate Jesus with the house of David." This is one of those cases, Eric, where I think we have the person who was trying to be faithful to Mormonism cutting off their nose to spite their face. Because if you're going to use that argument, then you have to explain to me that if the use of the word Bethlehem was wrong in connecting Jesus's birth, why did Joseph Smith do that in his inspired, so-called inspired translation of the Bible in chapter 3, verse 1 in the inspired version or the Joseph Smith translation? It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea." If that was really put in the Bible, in the Gospels, and it was erroneous, why do we find it in Joseph Smith's Gospel, or at least his interpretation or translation of the Gospel, the inspired translation? You would think if it was really inspired of God, that, and it was not correct, that this Bethlehem did not exist during this time, that they wouldn't have put the word Bethlehem in there.
Well, and certainly the leaders throughout the years have held to Bethlehem being this birthplace of Jesus. And you, before the show, were looking at some of those from the 19th and 20th centuries. But I'm looking at the LDS.org in their Guide to the Scriptures under B, Bethlehem. This is what they write about Bethlehem: "A small city located 5 miles south of Jerusalem. In Hebrew, Bethlehem means house of bread. It is also called Ephra, meaning fruitful. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 and Matthew 2:1-8. And it goes on and gives some more information from the Old Testament. So here in the LDS.org site, it very clearly states that this is a city, a town that Jesus was actually born in. And it was there, contrary to what he says, when that he says Bethlehem was not in existence at the time of Jesus.
And then the next paragraph, I think this is worded to perhaps cover Bob's rear end here. It says, "It has now come to light," I think he meant now, it says not, "it has now come to light that archaeological evidence now shows that Bethlehem in Judea probably did not exist as Bethlehem until many years after the birth of Jesus." here's this great argument from silence that we're hearing from this person.
But it's interesting. You said he has not been a believer or has not been practicing Mormonism for the 35 years, but he says, I want to offer an answer to the problem that of what you just read. Perhaps Jesus was born in the area where Bethlehem now exists. The Bible says that he was born in a manger. Perhaps in the area that was known only as the land of Jerusalem. So he is supporting the Alma 7:10 description of the land of Jerusalem, and that for him to bring all this up was again to support a religion that if he really isn't active, he is damned by this religion. He's not going to be able to attain the celestial for not having practiced for the past 35 years.
It does make you wonder why a person who claims to not be active in the church would still defend it the way they do. In fact, I've got to be honest with you. I'm surprised that active members support Mormonism the way they do because, as you've just said, if this religion is true, if the Book of Mormon is really a work from God, then the Book of Mormon condemns every Latter-day Saint because we don't know of any who have met the requirements for salvation according to the Book of Mormon. Yeah. And if you want to claim that that is actually scripture, then you need to live up to the statements that it contains.
We only have a couple of minutes, but at the very end of his article, he throws in one more caveat for us. He says, according to archaeologists, there is another hiccup that you need to know about. The town of Nazareth didn't exist until long after Jesus died. Now, a lot of people have been stating Bethlehem and Nazareth haven't existed. A lot of skeptics have said this, but the archaeological evidence very clearly shows. I mean, they called him Jesus of Nazareth and on the cross.
Was, according to John's gospel, that was the inscription that was over Jesus' head.
Yes.
That is Jesus of Nazareth. That's what it also says in the inspired version. I'll go back to what Joseph Smith gave from God, as inspired from God, and it also mentions Nazareth as well. So why would God do that if it was really inspired by him?
A guy like Shimon Gibson, who we had a chance to meet earlier this year in Israel, he's a famous archaeologist, and he happens to be an atheist, which is interesting because he writes books on Jesus. We read together a book called The Final Days of Jesus, a very well-written book, and has some interesting theories in there. But on pages 4 and 5 of this book, he goes and talks about Jesus being from Nazareth, and he said, what many know from the Gospels is that Jesus spent his childhood and much of his formative life in Nazareth, a somewhat modest small village nestling in the hills of Lower Galilee. Goes on further, saying there was probably just a few hundred people. But here's an atheist who says, yes, Nazareth was a place where Jesus lived. It wasn't very well known, but it really did exist.
I think the reason why we get people like Bob who write these kind of arguments to defend Mormonism, I don't know Bob personally, but it only comes across to me as showing their utter contempt for the Word of God. I'm going to prove the Bible's not true. Now, Bob thinks that we're being inconsistent, you know, that we don't look at some of the problem areas that are supposedly included in the Bible. We actually do, Bob. We actually do. And I don't think this was a very good argument, however, to defend Mormonism.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.